This is a familiar bookend to the holiday season. I love all of the wonderful stories and traditions and all the things that we do and the trees and the decorations. I hope you do too. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. I have also have some nephews, one of them named Aaron. Aaron is a delight. He's old enough now to have three children of his own. But when he was a baby, we took him to look at lights. You remember doing that, where you drive through neighborhoods and see all the lights and decorations and such? Yeah. Well, he was young enough that we were explaining to him the story of Jesus. So, you know, these are the different things. Yeah, it's a snowman. That doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And yeah, that's... But angels, we talked about that. And we came to this manger scene in someone's yard. It was beautiful. And Aaron looked at it, and he's like, wow, what is that? And we explained all of it to him. And he was just enthralled. You know, it was great. Boy, it was like a little moment where lights were going off for the little guy. And then as we're driving through the neighborhood, we see another yard about a block or so away, and they had three kings. And they were majestic-looking lights. It was beautiful. And Aaron said, well, who are those guys? And we explained, well, they're the wise men. They're looking for Jesus. And his little voice said, well, that's easy. He's two blocks away. I know. It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, the Christmas season is so delightful that it really is a blessing to us. And then we come to New Year's. I mean, and we don't really even know what to do with New Year's all that much, do we? I mean, excessive drinking and carousing and all that, I don't think any of us are in that that mood anymore. Somehow I think that got left behind, although I never caroused, I will tell you. I'm not even sure what that means, but I'm sure I didn't do it. But it's a time for a lot of people when they get kind of melancholy. You know, Christmas is a time of great cheer. Ebenezer Scrooge, who had spent his whole life as a miser, finds himself redeemed during the birth of Christ. Here's what they wrote. Some say that arrogance, that season comes when our Savior's birth is celebrated. The bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then, they say, no spirit can walk abroad. The nights are wholesome. Then no planets strike. No fairy takes, nor witch have power to change. So hallowed, so gracious is this time. It is a time. And Christmas carols speak of holy nights and Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. But New Year's is different. In an old Nancy cartoon, you remember Nancy? Yeah, Nancy's sitting at a table, Spike is sitting next to her, and she's writing all these things down. She says, number 9, be nice to people. Number 10, eat only healthy food. Number 11, share with friends. And she's way all the way down to number 28, which is stop being so pushy. And she writes 29, cut down on sweets. 30, be less critical of others. And Spike, sitting next to her, says, well, you know, what are those? New Year's resolutions. I mean, Nancy says, well, yeah, it is that time of year again. And looks at them, and Spike says, well, I'm impressed. Those are really great goals. But do you think that you can keep all of them? And she says, I don't have to. These are for you. I mean, New Year's can be kind of depressing sometimes, kind of a non-event dreamed up by restaurants and makers of cold duck. But another year one year ends, and another one begins, and you're 1 year older. 1 year closer to the end. Thank you. Happy New Year. But you can see it sometimes in New Year's parties how sadness gets revealed. Why do so many people celebrate New Year's Eve by, well, like I said, by over-drinking, unless they're trying to mask some sort of New Year's depression? Flip the page in the calendar. Just move on. Whoopee. But you know, it doesn't have to be like that. In fact, for us, it should be very different. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to do something, do some creative thinking with me. I want you to explore the possibility that this next year, 2021, will be the best year of your life. Now, some of you might scoff at that a little bit, but just go with me for a second. Because I realize that for some of you, that just seems a little flippant, trite. You're facing mountains that you're not certain that you're going to be able to climb this year. But notice that I did not say that this will be the easiest year of your life, only that it can be the best year of your life. Success cannot always be measured in either accomplishments or accumulation. If the coming year brings us closer to God and closer to our friends, if it helps us to value more highly the things that really matter and causes us to appreciate more deeply the gift of just simply getting up in the morning and being alive, it will be a great year regardless of the outer circumstances. So let's explore the possibility together of a rich and rewarding 2021. Certainly our text from Isaiah is a possibility text. With the blessing of God anointing his words, Isaiah counsels his people, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Many who heard Isaiah's summons surely thought, "Well, that is total nonsense. How can I let my light shine? I've had a tough year. I'm getting older. I'm getting feeble. Some people said, I'm young and I'm restless. Besides, I don't see any evidence of the deliverance of the Lord." Perhaps there are people here in this church this morning, or those online, who are of a similar mind. You doubt that this can be a great year. You're too old for fantasies, too cynical for fairy tales or better days ahead. Like many in Isaiah's time, you see no evidence of the deliverance of God. But let me offer some items and evidence, if I might, some reasons why you and I will and can have that great year. First of all, we know who we are. That's a simple thing, but it's still profound. The one of Isaiah's primary tasks was to remind the people of God who they were. They were no ordinary run-of-the-mill, ragged outfit. They were God's own children, those anointed by God. They were the chosen ones. Like the Marines, they were the few and the proud. And we need to be reminded sometimes who we are, too. We are God's people. We are those for whom Christ died, and we belong to this family, the best family, God's family. Family membership has some advantages. I remember hearing a story when Teddy Kennedy first ran for the Senate. His brother Jack was president, and his other brother Bobby was attorney general, so certainly the Kennedy name was everywhere. And according to the source, Teddy told his brother, the president, that he thought that he would change his name, because it was just too well known politically to be called a Kennedy. And he concluded that he did not wish to hang on to the coattails of his brothers. And so the president said, "Well, what name do you think that you want to ask for?" "Well," Teddy said, "I think I'll keep my first name. I know it works pretty good, I think. But I think what I want to do is change my last name to Roosevelt." Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt would be a pretty nice name. There might be certain advantages being a Kennedy or a Roosevelt or a Rockefeller or any of those names. Membership in a prominent family is helpful in this world. And I want to suggest to you, however, that there is even greater advantage to those of us who call ourselves a part of the family of God. Just let that roll over you for just a second, that you belong to that family of God. If there's anything in this particular church, this one right here, First Presbyterian, and it's present in many countless churches across the country and the world, is that sense of family. I mean, even through COVID, we've been able to maintain some connections. It's been hard sometimes, and we don't always get it right. But that has been something that even when you come to worship, somebody's always there to greet you. And, you know, they're really happy you're here. I don't go and pump them up and say, "Listen, I'll give you some penance or something if you go and be nice to people." They do it because we are all part of the family. We know who we are. Well, an unknown poet has said this: "I may be young, I may be old, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be educated, I may be unlettered, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be black, I may be white, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be rich, I may be poor, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be fat, I may be thin, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be married, I may be divorced, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be successful, I may be a failure, but I am somebody, for I am God's child. I may be a sinner, I may be a saint, but I am somebody, for Jesus is my Savior, and I am God's child." This can be a great year because we know who we are. But we also know where we are going. Isaiah wanted his people to know where they were going. He painted a picture of a peaceful, prosperous time, a time when the people of the world would look to God's people for guidance and inspiration. They would look to us for that. Isaiah understood the power of vision. He could help his people see what they could be if he could get them to buy into this victorious vision and make a move towards its realization. God would bless his people in a wonderful way. And here again is the great secret of life. People who arrive are those who know where they are going. And we know where we are going. There's a great story that George Patton once told about a Chinese national young man who enlisted in the American Army in World War II. He was in a unit that was stationed in Louisiana for training, and as luck would have it, they were out on maneuvers and he got lost. He could speak no English, but he knew what a uniform looked like, so he went out to the road, and it was near a crossroads, and he thought he would just catch a ride with whoever came by that was in a Jeep or a tank or whatever people were driving. But he didn't realize that we have a different custom, that when you want a ride, you do this, right? In his country, you do this. And so he's standing at the crossroads, and the first group of trucks come by, and he's standing doing this, trying to get a ride. And the trucks thought, oh, I guess he knows where he's supposed to go, so they went that way, when they should have gone that way. And then the soldier realized that I don't know why they didn't stop, so he went across the other side of the road, and next convoy comes by, and he does this, and they went that way. And Patton said that it took a week to find all of the lost convoys that were all over Louisiana and Texas. I mean, you can just imagine what that must have been like. But you know, it's an analogy to me that many people live their lives like that. First going down one road and then down another road. They wander nowhere in particular. And then they wonder why they haven't gotten any place. And so may I suggest that we start this new year, we write down descriptions of the things that we really would like to accomplish. And I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions or any of that kind of thing. That's all fine. But let's give ourselves a roadmap. What are some of the goals we really would like to attain? Spend more time with family. Project ourselves more forcibly on the job. Devote more time to the service of God. Paint a picture in our own mind of where we would like to be this time next year. Write those goals down and refer to them. Put them in your Bible and pray over them from time to time. Share them. And that's, no, you're not going to do that, are you? Because see, when you share it with somebody else, now you're accountable. And they may ask you, so how's it going? Yeah. But if you do that, if you do share it with somebody, the chances of you accomplishing that just are tremendously better. I will tell you this, if you know where you are going, you will travel this next year. It's so much better, so much better. You'll make better choices. There's a wonderful, another story, I've got lots of stories. 1608, members of the Jamestown, Virginia colony discovered gold, or what they thought was gold, and they almost totally abandoned all efforts to support the colony. They didn't plant anything. They didn't go out and hunt. All they wanted to do was to find the gold. And they dug it up, and they put it into bags, and they sent it back to London. However, what they had found was pyrite. Do you know what that's called? Fool's gold. That's right. The colonists would say the name Fool's Gold had special meaning for them, for not only had they been deceived by the worthlessness of what looked like something valuable, but they had foolishly abandoned everything that would have supported them. Even if it had been real gold, they still would have starved if it hadn't been for the Indians helping them. Is that a parable of the way many people spend their lives? Stocking up on things that are foolish? Ignoring the really important things in life until it is too late. We can have a great new year if we know who we are and we know where we are going. I'd like for us to think of this past year where we've been confined so much that this was a time for contemplation, you know, to find out what's really important, really matters to you, the things that you missed the most. I would certainly say your family may be at the top of the list. Maybe your job would be at the top of the list. Maybe your health is at the top of the list because it was almost taken away from you. Maybe, I do not know what that would be. But you do, and you can plan your journey. You know who you are, and then you will know where you are going. And finally, most importantly, we know who goes with us. Isaiah understood that any glory that came to his people was not their own doing. Their hope was in God, and God alone. And that is ours as well. Somewhere I read about a Native American tribe, an interesting tradition that they had. When the boys were very, very small, they would send them out into the woods to spend the night in the woods by themselves. They were given a knife to defend themselves, to create a shelter, and that was it. And they would spend the night in the terrors of the night and the sounds and all of the things that were there. But in the morning, they would discover that their fathers had spent the night with a bow and arrow in their hands, ready to defend their child against anything that would have happened. And that was a way to bond them together tremendously. Many of us know what that's like. Many of us have discovered something like that in the midst of our own long, difficult nights, that someone watches over us all through the night. So how can this be anything but a great year? We know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know who is going with us. So as we share in this communion today, this is what we do as a family, with God and each other. This will be our best year yet. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful to have made it to this place. Oh, it's one thing where people complain about what this past year was and how difficult it was. And it had its challenges, as every year has its challenges. These are just unique ones. But yet at the end of it, we are all in this place, all of us together. And so as this new year dawns upon us, as this light shines once again in our hearts and in this church and our community, we pray that this truly will be the best year ever. Because we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know you go with us. And so we give thanks for that. Be present now as we celebrate Holy Communion.